We read Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. We read the scriptures thus far. The text is verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the captain of our salvation, Jesus Christ, through the Apostle Paul, has an order for us tonight. Leaving the supper of the Lord, at which we were strengthened and nourished, the captain of our salvation has an order for us. Leaving the sanctuary tonight, and as the Sabbath departs, the captain has an order for us. As we continue in the heat of the battle and our spiritual warfare against all the mighty enemies of God and of us, his people, our captain has an order for us. And as we continue in the battle and sometimes grow weary from fighting and maybe even lose the heart to fight against our enemies, our captain, the Lord Jesus Christ, has a command for us, and this is his order: be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The Christian life is not easy. The Spirit has regenerated us. We have been called out of darkness into God's marvelous light. But that doesn't mean that our life is now easy, because there are still the remnants of indwelling sin. The Christian life is hard, very hard. It is difficult. It is strenuous. It is taxing. And we may never take a break in our spiritual warfare. We may never let down our guard. The Christian life is hard. But sometimes we lose focus. We become distracted. We don't enjoy fighting against sin. We don't have the heart to fight against our sin. We don't have the confidence that we will be able to overcome some sin in our lives. Maybe we lose hope. The captain of our salvation has an order for us tonight, Christian soldiers in the army of God called to a life of spiritual warfare. And the order is, the command is, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And as always, the Lord gives what he commands. We will be strong in the Lord. Let's consider that truth tonight. Ephesians 6, verse 10. The theme for the sermon is exhorted to be strong in the Lord's might. Consider first a necessary exhortation, second, a mighty power, and third, a striking address. The exhortation is, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let's consider, first of all, with regard to that exhortation, that it comes to us as we live in four different spheres, each one with its accompanying relationships. The text begins with the words, finally, my brethren, finally. That connects the text to the preceding context. The apostle has been giving exhortations, number one, number two, number three, and so on. And then he comes to finally. This is the last of a group of related exhortations. Thus, the text is inseparably related to its preceding context. From the biggest perspective, the epistle written to the church at Ephesus sets forth the glory of the church of Jesus Christ. In the first three chapters, the apostle has set forth the fundamental doctrines of the truth of the church of Jesus Christ. In chapter one, we learn of the eternal election of the church. We learn of her union to her head, Jesus Christ. In chapter 2, we learn of her salvation by grace alone. We learn of her universal gathering of Jews and Gentiles. In chapter 3, we learn of her ministers whom God makes, and we learn of the incomprehensible love of God for the church of Jesus Christ. The apostle, in the first half of the book, the first three chapters, sets forth the doctrine, and then in the last half of the book, chapters 4, 5, and 6, he gives all of the exhortations and instructions that arise out of that doctrine. In chapter 4, he calls the congregation to a life of unity and peace. The sphere in view in chapter 4 is the sphere of the congregation, with all of the relationships that are part of a congregation. The first half of chapter 5 treats our antithetical walk as children of light in a world of darkness. The sphere of the first half of chapter 5 is the world at large in which we live and wherein we rub shoulders with the ungodly. The second half of chapter 5 treats the marriage relationship between husbands and wives. The first part of chapter 6 treats the calling of children with respect to parents and parents with respect to children. So in the last half of chapter 5 and the beginning of chapter 6, there is the sphere of the Christian home with all of its relationships. Then in the middle of chapter 6, the immediately preceding context, the apostle gives instruction for servants and masters, employees and employers. The sphere is the workplace. Four spheres: the congregation, the world in which we live, the Christian home, and the workplace. The exhortation of the text comes to us as we live in those four spheres with all of their relationships. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, in the church, in the world, in the home, in the workplace. Secondly, with respect to this exhortation, we consider that it comes to us as Christian soldiers engaged in spiritual warfare as we live in those four spheres with all of their accompanying relationships. For the text is inseparably related to that which follows. In fact, it introduces the new topic, which is some detailed instruction on spiritual warfare, probably the outstanding section of Scripture on this subject. Warfare. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and so on. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God. And then in what follows, he identifies the various parts of the Christian's armor. Warfare is in view in the following context. This is the preceding context. You live in four different spheres with all of their relationships. This is the following context. You are a Christian soldier engaged in spiritual warfare. Now the exhortation, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, comes to us as Christian soldiers engaged in spiritual warfare, living in four different spheres with all of their accompanying relationships. The exhortation is necessary. It's necessary because we are so weak in ourselves. We are. In ourselves, we are weak, and we so often rely upon ourselves. And not only that, our three mortal enemies, the wicked world, the devil himself, and our own sinful flesh, are hell-bent on our everlasting destruction. We are so weak in ourselves, our enemies are so great and mighty, we need to hear this exhortation. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. So let's see what happens when we stand in our own strength, as we sometimes do, and we try to fight these mighty enemies of ourselves, as we sometimes do. Let's look at the battleground of the church, the congregation. What's required of us here? Chapter 4. Verses 1 through 3, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. 15 and 16, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. 25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. 29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. 31 and 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. That's what's required of us. What's the nature of the world, the wicked world in which we live? And what's the earnest desire of the devil for us? And what's the inclination of our own sinful flesh as we live in the congregation? That we fight against each other. That we become jealous of one another. That we use our tongues against each other. That we lift ourselves up in pride at the expense of another. God calls us to spiritual warfare in the church, whereby we fight every day and every night against any word we might speak and any attitude we might express and any action we might perform that doesn't contribute to the peace of God's church, but to its enmity and division and separation. We're called to warfare. And so often we're not strong in the Lord, but we're strong in ourselves. And when we're strong in ourselves, we are weak, weak soldiers. And then we don't use our tongues and our desires and inclinations for the good of the body and its peace, but for enmity and strife. And because we're so often weak in ourselves, then we need to hear the exhortation, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Look what happens in the battleground that is the world at large. What's required here? Well, these verses are quite familiar to us, I think, because the text for family visitation last year was from Ephesians chapter 5. 3 and 4, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become as saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. 7, 8, be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. 11 and 12, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. What's the nature of the world in which we live? And what's the earnest desire of the devil for us? And what's the inclination of our own sinful flesh? To fornicate. To be unclean. To use filthy speech and talk with a dirty mouth. And to take delight in all of the unfruitful works of darkness, which include but are not limited to the music and all of the entertainment of the world. That's the inclination. The Lord God calls us to spiritual warfare in which we must fight every moment of our lives, day and night, against all of the temptations of the wicked world around us. And sometimes we're not strong in the Lord. I don't need the Lord. I'm strong in myself. I'm fine. I'm going to be all right. And when we're strong in ourselves, we are so weak as soldiers, and then we participate. We partake of, we touch, we get involved with, we get trapped in the unfruitful works of the world. We need to hear the exhortation, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. There's the battleground of the home. What's required here? Ephesians 5:22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. 6, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. 6, verse 4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That's the requirement for us. Now, what's the norm in the world? The norm in the world in which we live, and the earnest desire of the devil for us, and the inclination of our own sinful flesh, the old man of sin, for the wife I'm not going to submit. For the husband, I'm not going to love. For the child, I'm not going to obey. For the father, for the parent, I'm not going to nurture and admonish. The Lord God calls us to spiritual warfare in which we are called to fight every day, morning and night. We wives are called by God to fight against our own pride and self-will, where we might not want to submit, but we want to assert ourselves in our will, and maybe not in something big and major, but even in something smaller in life. I'm not going to submit. We have to fight against that. We husbands have to fight against our inclination to be cold toward our wives, to be sarcastic or poor in our communication, to make more of our hobby, our interest, maybe a flat screen, to make more of it than the face of our own wife. We have to fight against that. We children have to fight. Children, you must fight. Don't misunderstand. Children, you must fight against the inclination to disobey, not to listen, to talk back to your father or mother. And as we increase in years and become teenagers, we have to fight against our desire to fight every rule of our parents. Every time they make a rule, we want to fight that rule. We have to fight against that. We parents have to fight every day against an inclination just to let things go. Maybe not in significant issues like the education of our children, the catechizing of our children, but on a day-to-day basis, all of the seemingly smaller things, just to let them go and not rear them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We have to fight against that inclination. And so often we're not strong in the Lord. We're strong in ourselves. We will go forth in our strength. But when we do that, we're very, very weak. And then we stumble and fall and we disobey the Lord. So the exhortation comes to us tonight. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Look at the battleground of the workplace. What's required here? Chapter 6, verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh. 9. And ye masters, do the same things unto them. In the context, do good. Do good unto them. Masters, now do the same things unto them. Do good unto your employees. What's the norm, the nature of this dog-eat-dog world? And what's the earnest desire of the devil and the inclination of our own flesh as servants? I'm not going to obey. I'm going to talk back or even talk behind the back of my employer. And as employers, I'm not going to look out for the good, the best of the employee. The Lord God calls us to spiritual warfare where we must fight against any inclination contrary to His will in the Scriptures. And when we're strong in ourselves, we're weak and we stumble and fall with our tongues and with our hearts. So the exhortation comes to us, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Because of our weakness and our inclination to rely upon ourselves, and because of the might of all of the enemies around us, we need this exhortation. If we in vain confidence think we are strong, and sometimes we do, then not only do we disobey the word of God, we've made a very foolish mistake. We've ignored history and all the warnings of history. Which, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, which are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Look what happened to Adam when he was strong in himself. He, and then his whole posterity with him, fell. Look at what happened to Noah when he was strong in himself. He got drunk and he took off his clothes. Look what happened to Judah. Judah was not strong in the Lord. Judah was strong in himself. vainly confident in himself, and he walked down the road and there's a prostitute and he went in unto her. A little while later, he found out that his daughter-in-law, Tamar, got pregnant with a man who was not her husband. And Judas said, she needs to be burned. In his self-righteousness, he said, burn her. She was the prostitute alongside of the road. He was the father of her child. Look what happens to a man when he's strong in himself. The warning of history. And we all know David. The canons of Dort speak of the falls of David and Peter. David the king, Peter the disciple. Look what happens when a man is strong in himself. When we rely upon ourselves in our spiritual warfare, we are like little shepherd boys with a slingshot. And the enemies around us are Goliaths. And with one hand behind their back, they can squash us. David was not a little shepherd boy with a slingshot. Not merely that. David was a young shepherd boy with a slingshot who was in the strength of the Lord. But if we fight of ourselves and of our own strength, then we're not in the Lord, and we're like a little shepherd boy with a slingshot before a giant like Goliath. And we're doomed. We will fall. We will be destroyed. When we rely upon ourselves, we will be called to repentance over and over again because we will be sinning over and over again. No Christian soldier can stand in his own might. And because we're so inclined to do so by nature, we need this exhortation of the Word of God. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. There is a mighty power working in us that equips us as the soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ to do valiantly for the glory of God and for our holiness. There is a power, and it is the mighty power of the Lord. The Lord in the text is the ascended Lord Jesus Christ, and He is a Lord of mighty power. He is able to do whatsoever He pleases. Mighty in power is the Lord. Look at His power. As the eternal Word, He's the creator of the whole universe. For it was through Him that God said, "Let there be light," and light was created out of nothing. Mighty power. He is the Holy Child born of the Virgin Mary, spotless, without any sin and any sinfulness. And look at Him. He went into the wilderness to be tempted by the great devil for 40 days and hungry as He was. And He drove him away, saying no to all of those temptations. Mighty power. Look at the Lord when He comes down the Mount of Transfiguration and there's that poor father. "My son, can you help my son?" He's tormented by this demon. He throws himself in the fire. He throws himself in the water, and "I'm helpless." And the Lord Jesus Christ casts out that demon, showing His mighty power. He goes to the cross on what we call and celebrate as Good Friday, and there He appears to be so feeble and weak. But we know according to the Old Testament promise, it was there at the cross that He crushed the head of the serpent. Who can crush the serpent's head? That great dragon, that great beast, that great demon of darkness who often appears as an angel of light, that subtle serpent, that roaring lion. Who can crush his head? Jesus can. He did, freeing us from the tyranny of the devil. Mighty power. The congregation, as they listen to the letter being read, they know exactly what the apostle's referring to by the mighty power of the Lord, because he introduced the subject to them way back in chapter 1. The great power of Christ is revealed in His resurrection, and now the power He possesses in His ascension. Chapter 1, verse 19. The apostle desires that they may know what is the exceeding greatness of His, God's, power to usward who believe according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead. God is a God of power, and the Lord Christ is a Lord of power. He overcame death. Death. Mighty power. But not only that, he ascended up into heaven. The apostle continues, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Here we are on this earth, surrounded by these mighty enemies with all of their might and power and dominion. And the word of God says, because of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, all those enemies are under his feet. He puts his foot on the neck of the devil and all of the host of darkness. Mighty power is possessed by the ascended Lord. Great is his power, power over sin, his hatred for sin, his destruction of sin and the enemies of sin. Mighty power is the power of the Lord. Mighty power. The exhortation is, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We can only be strong, therefore, in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord. That phrase refers to saving faith, the bond by which we are grafted into the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as a branch is grafted into the tree. If the branch is lying on the ground, it has no life. There's no source of life for the branch. It will wither and die. Nothing there. But when the branch is grafted into the tree, now it draws all of that strength through the system of roots and the trunk of the tree. The same thing is true of the child of God. By faith, he's grafted into the Lord Jesus Christ. And now all of that strength that's possessed by the Lord, that very strength and power comes to those who are grafted into him. We have access to that source. That's astounding. That's the wonder of faith. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ, who possesses the power to create the universe, to drive away the devil, to cast out demons, to crush the head of the serpent, to come up from the grave alive, and to put all of his enemies under his feet as the ascended Lord. That's his power. Now we're grafted into him, and we have access to that power. No wonder the apostle says to another congregation, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. I can do all things because I'm in the Lord. I have access to the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Sadly, we don't always live out of that union. We're not always drawing from that strength as we live out of that union, because so often we live out of the sinful flesh. We live out of the old man. So we need this exhortation, be strong in the Lord. That is, don't be weak in yourselves. Don't be a weak soldier who turns when battle draws nigh. Every time the enemy comes and there's danger, a soldier who runs away and says, rather than dealing with that, I'm going to try to run away, get away from the trouble. Don't be that weak soldier who runs away. Don't be the soldier who faints and despairs before the enemy. And every time the enemy pops up his head, say, it's hopeless. There's no hope in this. And run away from the enemy. Don't be that kind of weak soldier. Don't be a soldier who boasts in his own strength. I don't need the Lord. I'm strong in myself. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then we do valiantly in all of the relationships in each of the four spheres. Because the Lord is the Lord, Lord of strength, because the Lord is the Lord, not only does he see to it that we are grafted into him, he sees to it that we do draw from his strength. We do, according to his power working in us. And yet there's this exhortation that comes to the text which requires of us the exercising of our faith and activity. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So practically, on a day-to-day basis, what do we do? How do we do that? Well, the apostle gives the answer in what follows. Be strong in the Lord. How do you do that? The next verse. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, Lord willing, we will take a closer look at this verse, verse 11, and those verses that follow in the applicatory services that follow in the year ahead. A closer look. But tonight already, I call your attention to just a couple of things in the following context, very practically. How are we strong in the Lord? We go down to verse 17, the well-known verse, this great offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That in the first place. How are we strong in the Lord? Well, we need that sword, the Word of God. We need to be in the Word of God. The Word preached, the Word read, the Word studied. As we live in the congregation, and as we live in the world, and as we live in our homes, and as we live in the workplace, if we are not in the Word, we will never be strong in the Lord, and we will never have His might, because He gives it to us as we are in the Word. If we begin the day in the Word, really, truly, in the Word, then it's much more unlikely that we're going to fall later on. We still might because of how weak we really are, but it's much more difficult. If we begin the day in the Word, sincerely, truly in the Word, it's much more difficult to fight on the way to church. But if we fight on the way to church, it's very likely that just a few minutes earlier we were not in the Word, not at all that morning. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And that comes through the Word. The Word. But not now in a mechanical way, because anyone can open up the Bible and take their eyes and just keep glancing over black words on a white page in a mechanical way that doesn't do anything. And it's not like a vitamin. You need strength. We'll take this vitamin once every day and you will have strength. The Word of God to us is not like a vitamin in that way. It takes the conscious exercising of our faith. That requires work. We need to open up the Word and read verse by verse and carefully study it and ask ourselves questions. And what does this word mean? And why this phrase? And keep wrestling with it and pondering. The lost art of pondering today. Just stop and ponder so that we're in the Word. And now the devil doesn't want that. The devil says, you've been in the Word for 60 seconds now. Close it. You know you want to come to all of these distractions around you. 60 seconds. It's been 3 minutes. You know you want to shut the Bible. Shut the Bible. That's the devil. So then reading the Word becomes its own battle. In the Word. And when we're in the Word, we have strength. And sometimes God in His goodness and mercy sends great affliction. He sends calamity into our lives. And that drives us to the Word. And we pore over the Word and draw so much out of it in times of calamity. But I have to ask myself, and you have to ask yourselves, do we really need a calamity to be driven to God's Word? Here's the Word of God. Be in the Word, for therein is our strength. The Word can never be separated from prayer, and that comes in what follows. Verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always with all prayer. The Word all by itself will not be strength for us. We need the Word and prayer. Lord, as I begin to study Thy Word, give me the desire to be in Thy Word. Open up this word to me so that I see something of Thy glory. And so that I see Christ and who I am in this world, teach me and then apply it to my life. So we pray. And then we go into the Word and we study it. And then we pray again, Lord, now apply this unto me and teach me something from this passage I have read. Pray. And then I not only pray with the Word, but all throughout our days, all throughout the day of our lives, we pray. And we ask the Lord for strength to fight against this specific enemy in our lives. Ask Him for strength, for it's through the Word and prayer that the Lord gives this strength, His mighty power. A soldier just fell. Oh, the sadness of heart. Out there on the battlefield, a soldier just went down. Was he in the Word with prayer this morning? Not likely. Being in the Word and prayer doesn't guarantee we won't fall. But if we're not in the Word and not praying, that guarantees we will fall. We will. Weak in ourselves. We must be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That comes through the Word and prayer. And then I call your attention to one more thing. Joy. Joy. In speaking to the returned captives, Ezra said in Nehemiah 8 verse 10, "For this day is holy unto the Lord, neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." This is profound. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. Be strong in the Lord. And that strength comes to us as we're in the Word and as we pray, because being in the Word and praying gives to us joy. And Nehemiah 8 verse 10, the words of Ezra say, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." As we read the Word and we grow in knowledge of who our great God is and of what great things He has done for us in Jesus Christ, we marvel at this great God as we behold Him and we rejoice in our salvation so that our hearts are full of the joy of the Lord, and that's our strength. When we're crabby and cranky and pouting and unhappy and feeling sorry for ourselves, how strong are we, really? How strong are we? I must ask myself, and you must ask yourselves, how does it really go for us in our relationships in the congregation and in the world at large? Maybe we just talk to the receptionist at the doctor's office, a little conversation right there. And in our homes, in our marriages, and with our children, with our parents, and in the workplace, employers, employees, how does it really go for us when we're unhappy and crabby and cranky and sour? We don't do very good as Christian soldiers. We stumble and fall. The Word of God says, "For the joy of the Lord is your strength." You just came out of captivity. Now you have to build the temple. You have to build the walls around this city. And all the Samaritans are here. They're doing war with you so that you can only build the wall if you have a sword in your hand. And it's so rigorous and taxing to come as these captives back to the land of Jerusalem. And Ezra says, "But the joy of the Lord, that's your strength." You just have to remember who you were and where you just came from, Babylon, and the bondage of the ungodly. And the Lord brought you out now with a mighty hand. By His almighty grace, He brought you back to the promised land of Canaan. You ought to rejoice in the great salvation God has given to you. And that's your strength. That's your strength. What great things God has done for us, whereof we are glad. And then when we have through the Word and through prayer the joy that God gives in our salvation, well, then we're strong, aren't we? We know that. We experience that. We're strong in the church. Then our relationships blossom, and we live in peace and unity one with another. And it goes well with us in the world as we have various contacts and bump into various people wherever we go in the world. It goes well with us. And in the home, wives, when we live in the joy of our salvation, we honor and submit to our husbands so willingly. We love to do that. And we husbands, when we are in the Word and praying and in the joy of our salvation, we love to love our wives. And we children, we love to obey our parents. And we parents, we love to nurture them and admonish them in the Lord. And when we go to work each day, we love to honor our employer. And we love to take care of our employees. As we are in the Word and praying and in the joy of our salvation, we are strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, drawing out of the Lord that mighty strength, the crucified, resurrected, and ascended Lord. That's our power. And we do valiantly in all of these spheres with all of their relationships. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Brethren, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. A striking address. Finally, my brethren. That address is striking. The Apostle Paul uses that address over and over and over again in his epistles. When he writes a letter to the church at Ephesus, he uses it but once. Ephesians 6, verse 10, the text. If the address appeared over and over again in the epistle, we would probably move right past it and find little significance in it. But the fact that it appears only once says to us this is a striking address. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. First, there's significance in this address, striking as it is, in that it keeps us from misunderstanding our identity as soldiers. We are soldiers, but we might misunderstand our identity in such a way that we think all of life is to be fighting. So that we're always fighting, and not only against that which we ought to fight, but we just want to fight. And I'm not happy unless I'm contending with something. And I want to be fighting people or issues. Always be fighting, even when I ought not be fighting. We might misunderstand our identity as soldiers until the apostle comes and says, my brethren, your brothers, sit around the same table, the Lord's Supper. You dwell together in the unity of the truth. Your brothers fight as soldiers to protect your brotherhood, not to ruin it. Finally, my brethren, that striking address keeps us from misunderstanding our identity as soldiers. Brethren. Secondly, this address draws us closer and closer together. It binds us together. Brethren, my brethren, on the battlefield, those who have nothing in common suddenly become soldiers. The war has started. All these men are wearing the same uniforms. They came from all over the country with different backgrounds and cultures and personalities and even different religions practiced. But once when the smoke goes up and the bombs start falling and the bullets are flying and the horrors of warfare are heard, they band together as brothers. I don't care who you are. You're my brother. We have the same enemy. We fight under the same banner. We fight for the same cause. The apostle, in speaking of our Christian warfare, addresses us as brethren. And that binds us and draws us together here in the heat of the battle in our warfare. We're brothers. We're willing to die for each other. That's how much we love each other. We're willing to do anything we can for each other. Brethren, that binds us together in the battlefield. Third and finally, this address, striking as it is significant because it indicates every single person must hear this exhortation. The apostle has said things such as, wives, all right, he's talking especially to the wives. Husbands, well, I'm not a husband. Children, fathers, servants, masters, well, I'm not a master. And then he comes and says, finally, my brethren. And that includes absolutely everyone, even the apostle himself. My brethren. The apostle does not assume an attitude of spiritual superiority where he writes a letter to the Ephesians and says, you need to be strong in the power of the Lord because I know your inclination is to be strong in yourselves, but I'm an apostle, I'm a minister of the gospel, I'm in the word of God every day, I don't need to hear this exhortation. I'm always strong in the Lord. No, 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 no. Finally, my brethren. We're all together in this. I'm right with you. I need to hear this too. And if Paul needs to hear it, then you need to hear it and I need to hear it. We all need to hear it. It comes to every one of us. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And if we are brethren, that means someone made us brothers. Christ did. He's our elder brother. Jesus Christ. Our elder brother who brought us into the family of God so that we all are our brothers. And he's not only our elder brother, but he's our captain, the captain of our salvation. What confidence we have going forth in the power of his might. You think earthly soldiers are devoted to one another, willing to lay down their lives for each other? Look at the captain of the hosts of the Lord, our elder brother. He was willing to die on the cross. As the table of the Lord testified this morning, he was willing to do that. Where do you ever find such devotion? If he was so devoted to us then, be sure he is so devoted to us today. And we will be strong in him, in the power of his might. As Christian soldiers engaged in spiritual warfare, living in the four spheres of the world, the church, the home, and the workplace with all of their relationships. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, the word teaches us that the preaching of the gospel is thy power unto salvation. Thy power. We've spoken of thy word, read and studied. We've spoken of prayer. We've even learned from Ezra that our joy in thee is our strength. But we know too that the preaching of the gospel is thy power unto salvation. And may the preaching of this word be the power for us to live out of Jesus Christ strong in his might. To conquer all evil and stand for the right. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.